You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome back to a second Memphis edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. 1-1 series. Very interesting two games here for several reasons. Obviously, the biggest long-term news for the Warriors tonight is Gary Payton II has a fractured elbow. Happened on a very early first quarter play where Dylan Brooks from behind, you know, whacks him in the head, sends him off balance, crashes hard, breaks his left elbow, by the way, his shooting elbow. They'll know more after an MRI tomorrow, but, you know, you take a step back, and yes, the series is now 1-1, and they don't really have the guy they need to deal with Ja Morant, but even looking down the line in a potential Phoenix series and beyond, this is just a massive loss for them.
Yeah, that's huge. He's, you know, they're going small, and one of the reasons they can do that is because they feel like they can defend at that level. And that's GP. You know, that's GP too. That's up front, Draymond in the back. And obviously, Ja Morant going off for 18 in the fourth quarter. It's just like, that's the life that's waiting for the Warriors without Gary Payton. It's the guys getting you know, off the dribble, getting where they want. So, yeah, that's a huge loss. I think even more importantly, it's terrible for GP, who – you know, man, he's been waiting for this his whole life. You know, he worked. Been in the G League forever, finally gets a shot, earns a rotation spot, and gets in the playoffs and is doing well.
Starting in this series.
Yeah, and now, you know,
and he's not a young man. He's not a young, you know, was he 28? Yeah. So, like, I wrote about it, and I talked to Kerr afterwards, too, and he's clearly emotionally hit by this. You know, this probably changes Gary Payton's life. Like, you know, I mean, the money he's going to make, the career he's going to have, you know, he can still make it, still be in the NBA, but this changes this offseason for sure. And I think they're hit by that. And the other thing I wrote about in my column is that, like, now they got to be all offense, right? This is their offense. This is what they finished with, the five best offensive players they got, if you count Draymond as a facilitator. And they were mad that the offense didn't do so well. Like, you know, Ja Morant's going to beat them if they don't have Gary Payton in the second. They feel fine, not fine with that. They feel okay with that if they've got their guys running around like they did against Denver in that series, games 1 and 2, but really haven't seen it too much since. And then they did not look good offensively in the last 4 minutes. And what are the Warriors? Execute in the final 4 minutes to win playoff games. That's what we've seen. That's what they did in game 1. Did not do it, and rush shots, we can break it down, but it's the combination. Like, if they're going to lose GP2, they've got to be, like, super on offense because they're already small. Now they're small and they're not as good on defense. It's just got to be all-out offense, and they did not see it. I think that was – it was, you know, the Payton injury is by far the biggest hit, but emotionally and structurally for the way – but it's also – wait a minute. No, we still should have won this game offensively, and they didn't do it.
7 of 38 from three, 18%. They hadn't, you know, they'd been really hot in the playoffs. Their worst 3-point shooting game to this point in the playoffs was 35% from three. You know, this was their second worst shooting night of the entire season. They had a 17% night against the Mavericks. You know, a lot of looks, even open looks at times, like Steph Curry could have hit. I remember a Jordan Poole wide open three off a Memphis breakdown that
Wiggins
he missed.
Had one, you know, but you know. It's supposed to be Steph and Clay, right? That's who it's supposed to be. And it wasn't. And, you know, I think about that. Ja Morant had as many 3-pointers, 5, as Steph and Clay had combined. And Steph and Clay both would have, like, 33 attempts combined, something like that. It was unimpressive from, like, what they are now. They're back to Steph and Clay. And Jordan Poole, obviously, as a third man in. But, man, you were just – this is who they are. I think that was beginning. They're not going to be able to throw other funky things in there. this is who they are, and they have to win these games. They still are very much fine in the series, but I think that hit them a little bit to see that that group not do it. And, you know, they have some – this is the whole thing is built to target a weak defensive player, right? That's the whole thing. You put three perimeter players out there, you can't hide Ja on somebody because he was guarding Otto Porter. You put Poole in for Porter, it's supposed to be able to light him up, and it just didn't happen.
Even one of the seven makes was a Steph Curry bank three. and there were some air balls, too. Like, this was, like, a really off shooting night.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't just, you know, this random occurrence where he didn't make shots. You know, part of it is Memphis's defense. They're playing up on these guys. They're getting their body on guys. They're chasing people off the line. And the crazy part is, you know, Steph said they were playing like they just wanted the threes to go. But they got to the rim whenever they wanted to. Whenever they decided, they got there. And that's the hole in Memphis defense. And they just weren't disciplined enough to just take it over and over until Memphis stopped it consistently. I know they got a couple of weak side blocks, but the answer to that is not to drive. It's to
find somebody.
Yeah, find somebody to kick it to. But, I mean, even like the last Clay three, it was like, you know, they get the stop there and he rushes a three, and it's like everybody was going to the hole at that point. So that's the interesting part. Memphis, like, you know, you're talking about Ja making five threes, like they're giving him them. They're not giving Steph and Clay threes. They're trying to take them away, and the Warriors were forcing them anyway, even though Memphis is trying to take them away. Wow, the mid range is wide open. The layups are open.
Clay was
the
driving mid ranges, or at least most of them. I mean, not a couple of those quick ones, but
two horrendous mid range shots in the third quarter. I want to talk about Clay. I mean, to me, he's been their worst player in the first couple games. 5 of 19 tonight. He's 11 of 38 so far in the series, and this is coming off a Denver series where he's 51% overall, 46% from three. He had that game four in Denver where it was four dribbles for his 32 points. Everything was catch and shoot, catch and go. Like, you know, really smart Klay Thompson offense. He's gone back. Like, he's dribbling a ton in this series. He had one pull-up three tonight that as it's leaving his hand, he's already telling the bench, my bad for that shot. And then the ones he's met in the mid-range that Tim's talking about is third quarter, Memphis is going on a run. He goes 1-on-4 in transition.
After, like, it was like four offensive rebounds. Yes, yes.
But they still stopped?
And they ended up getting a stop. Yeah, they ended up getting a stop, and he goes 1-on-4.
And then takes it like a 14-foot leaning baseline fade with – it was one and then just four Memphis.
Yep.
You know, nobody was in position to offensive
rebound. Even, like – came close to half court. He's like, okay, oh my god, he's gonna shoot that, so I'm gonna stay here.
What was even crazier, then he misses, Memphis comes down, and it was 65-61 when he misses that. Memphis comes down, hits a three, 68-61. He goes and takes the same shot. The next possession now misses it again, leaning, you know, it's the type of shot that when it was getting awkward in his first month back, remember, where it was like, yeah, I mean, the you know, delight of the Klay Thompson return has kind of faded a little bit, and it's time to start looking at his shooting percentages and usage rates and all that. He has looked like that player through two Memphis games, and that is probably their biggest offensive problem right now.
I think maybe some of this unspoken is Klay, you know, it was incredible that you would shoot like that, even with Steph and Kevin Durant. Well, you really have to do it with Jordan Poole. Like, you just got, at some point, if you're not shooting the jumpers, move the ball to Jordan, because he is now option number two without a question. And sometimes he's option number one, even with Steph on the floor. So I don't know how they had that conversation. It's, you still want Klay. I mean, you know, what do you say? Don't shoot. You know, you have to say, keep shooting. But it's the quality of shot. It's the patience you exert. And frankly, who would they rather have shooting a crazy shot right now, Klay Thompson or Jordan Poole? It's not even close. It's not even close.
No, it's not. And to me, it's just you see him. He's trying to, like, summon Game 6 Klay, right? He's like, no, this is me in this road environment. Like, how do we win a game like this? Like, I get nuclear. So let me get nuclear.
Wasn't Steph talking about Klay, right? I mean, he didn't say my name, but, like, we're all thinking that we're going to make one and the dam's going to break. That's what we're thinking. I'm talking about Klay. I mean, I'm sure Steph thinks about himself, but, you know, Steph actually, you know, maybe does do that. But you just can't shoot yourself. At this moment, in this point in his career, Clay can't quite do that. He just shoot himself into this. He's got to make one in order to get the two others right after that. And I think they're kind of going to wade through that, going to look at film, going to like talk about it. And they got a lot of time, and maybe Clay feels a little more comfortable about moving the ball around a little bit in game three, Chase.
You know, there's another way to do it. It's old school. Some of my Jim Barnett expertise here.
Bench him?
Get to the free throw line. Yeah, jeez. Well,
Clay have zero free throws.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, Clay had one. Clay was one of two from the free throw line in the Denver series when he was playing great offensively. Clay Thompson doesn't go get to the free throw line. Clay Thompson just needs to take, catch, and shoot smart threes. Like, that's it.
Yeah, but, I mean, the way they're playing, that's just a little bit difficult. I think that's the problem. But
I'm just saying, Clay's not going to go muscle his way to the free throw line. You don't want him attacking the rim. Then you're like, then he's doing off-the-dribble stuff that you don't want.
New Clay should be doing that. That should be part of his game, right? Like, get inside, throw a pump fake. They're jumping at everything. They're trying to swipe everything. Like, that's just a solution that he could use. Like, two dribbles
and option, or at least a dribble and draw the defense and move it a little bit. But, like, yeah, there's no option about pulling him out. Like, they're running out of players now. I mean, I think Slater and I both raised our eyebrows when Kerr brought up Iguodala, maybe. It's like, you're counting on him? And he didn't say he was counting on him, but they could really use him. They could use him tonight, no question.
I would say what was interesting about that comment was he wasn't asked, like, hey, how's Andre doing for game three? He was asked, like, what are some potential answers for Morant now that Peyton is probably out for the playoffs or at least this series? And he said, well, Andre, like, it was the first thing he mentioned. And you know what? Andre can help. You know, he's not going to laterally stay with Morant, but we all know what he is, even at his age as a defender. But like you said,
That was a pull. That was a deep pull. It's like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Because you don't even know, you know, if Andre can be healthy by Saturday or whenever and how long he can be healthy, even if he gets back for one of those games. But that's where they are. I mean, you know, this deep, 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 deep team is suddenly not that deep. It's what happens. But, like, they are running on a little bit of, like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I mean, is Moses Moody going to play? Kuminga's going to have to play.
It's
like,
really been – it's been Damian Lee in that spot. Yeah, he's been fine.
He's not a guy that you're going to go, okay, fourth quarter, look, go guard John Morant.
I would just say he's ahead of Moody on the pecking order for sure. And, you know, look, it's going to be a lot of Wiggins. We'll probably start on him. I think, and I think they probably will go to it at some point, Draymond Green on Morant to open possessions.
Kuminga played some on Morant, by the way, a little bit. Wasn't great at it, but they're going to throw a lot of different people at it. And they're going to have to.
I would like to ask Marcus about this. You could just go double him. Get it out of his hands early in the possession, particularly in the fourth quarter. He scores their final, I think, you know, 18 or so. I know he had 18 in the last 6-11. What should be done, particularly in crunch time when Morant's got the ball up top?
Yeah, especially when he's rolling like that, you double him. They have no Dylan Brooks. They're not playing Tyus, their backup point guard. Who's creating the play after that?
Desmond Bane can't move. He cannot move.
Jaren Jackson is out of the game.
Zaire Williams.
He's a finisher. Yeah. He'll finish it, but somebody, if you get it out of Ja's hands early enough, somebody's got to create a shot.
Dylan Brooks.
He wasn't there.
He probably won't be there in game three.
That's what I'm saying. Like, trap Ja. Like, trap him at half court, dude. Give him the Steph treatment. And make – who is their Draymond in that situation? Who's their Jordan Poole? Make those guys make a play.
Been Dylan Brooks, but yeah, I don't know if it's Dylan Brooks now, even if he's not suspended.
But, like, tonight, he wasn't on the court. Yep. Like, Desmond Bane can't move. Tyus was on the end of the bench. De'Anthony Melton was spotted up in the corner. Like, you got to live with those guys beating you at that point instead of hoping that, you know, maybe Ja misses. Because some of those switches that they were easily allowing, by the way – you know, they got Wiggins on them. They come get a screen, switch, and then stretch it out. And it's like, okay, Jordan Poole, stay in front of him. Okay, Otto Porter, stay in front of him. It's not happening. They're just hoping Ja misses.
They were doubling once he got in the lane, but it's probably too late. Yeah, it's too late.
They're using Draymond as the helper, but that's too late. Half court, get the ball out of his hands. Make somebody else make a play. Like, he's rolling like that, and they've seen it. That was the play-in all over again.
And you know he's going to be doing that, you know, in Chase again. So late, not only, you know, they had Wiggins guarding him. And at this point, again, Wiggins is kind of the primary defender. But they were doing a lot of bringing Poole's guy up and targeting Poole at the end. And I just, the other thing, the words were too easily switching that. Like, just, so easily. I hate, and this is league wide. It's become such a an epidemic. The soft switching, where it's like you just let the team get whatever matchup they want. Where, you know, it's like Jaw's bringing up the screen, and then right when they touch, they allow the switch. And Jaw's not even like going. It's not like a scramble switch where you got to do it. He just, thank you for that switch. All right, now for 5 seconds.
And he's like pulling it out, backing up.
That's what I mean. If he's pulling it out, just switch back. Yeah.
But you know who doesn't do the soft switch? Gary Payton. Yeah. He doesn't do the soft switch. You know, to me, you got to put length on Ja just because he's going to, like, contort his way into a shot. He's going to jump, and then he's going to hang, and he knows how to make those shots. And you just got to have somebody who's long enough to get a hand up. Right? That's all.
Like Clay did at the end of game one. But it's tough. He's really good. And, you know, he hit that lefty one over Draymond in the fourth quarter. It was unbelievable. It was an incredible shot. But yeah, the give up on the switch is like, did Jordan get like 4 of his fouls guarding Ja? I was like, it just seemed like every time he switched on a Ja, it was a foul, and sometimes a bucket and a foul. And he's not there yet. And some part of the switching defense is, we think every one of our guys is good enough to play these guys, and then that might not be true, especially in that matchup. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's 1-1, plenty of time for adjustments. You know, there's going to be on both sides with 3 days off, right? I mean, automatically there's going to be adjustments, but they are running out of some. I just think at some point they're just going to roll out that, you know, they're going to roll out their small lineup and say, okay, we're just going to outscore you.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately. So I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs. So you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I mean, that will be the starting lineup in game three at this point with no Payton. It
started the third quarter, but...
Going back to Looney, yeah. Baby.
By the way, you're right. I shouldn't confirm that.
The start of the third quarter was the first time that group had played in the series. So, and they closed with it. And I'll look up the plus minus at some point. I'm a little tired right now. But, you know, they got to go. Those are their best five guys by a lot right now. They are. And you're going to win or lose with those guys.
I mean, yeah, the Iguodala, like, it will hint from Kerr, at least allows the idea of if he looks decent in a game three, he could close with him. But
interesting one. What about JTA?
Yeah, you thought about it. Yeah, but so. Yeah, with JTA with Draymond, then your offense is
good. Might as well just go loony at that.
Yeah. I think Kuminga is a better shot at it just because he gives you something offensively.
I feel like Kuminga can do it.
Yeah, I think Kuminga's going to get more and more minutes.
Kuminga should be getting like 20 minutes in the series.
Yeah, he's just I think he might should get 15 every series from now on. Just he gives them different stuff. You're down players. You can't count on Iguodala. You're down GP2. I mean, it just Kerr's not going to go to a 7-man, 8-man rotation. So you get that extra guy. That Kuminga's that guy. And
Otto Porter would really help more if he could just hit a jumper. He cannot hit a jumper anymore
to save his life, right? And he's still like
he's still plus 16.
Well, he's like let me look at what it finished at. But the Warriors won the rebounding battle again, 52-47, 14 offensive rebounds. That is now 30 offensive rebounds in two games. Otto Porter and Andrew Wiggins to me are the two biggest parts of that.
Well, every 50-50 ball, you see Otto Porter in there, just tipping it around. The one tip out he had to Steph for the three, like that's huge. And at 6'9", it's really important. Although, as we say, like, he is not going to make a jump shot. He's just not going to do it.
Which is like, beginning of the year, like, that's what he was. It was like, well, he's going to make the jumper. Can he help elsewhere? Now it's just, it's abandoned him.
Yes, it has. You know, another thing I think they should probably do more of, and they, they do all these long actions to get to the point, but, like, the one is you attack Ja. Attack Ja like they're attacking Jordan Poole. Whenever they go at Ja, they
get maybe even they get him into foul trouble.
Yeah, whenever they go at Ja. Forget all this.
It just causes so much havoc because Memphis has to switch around everything to try to get Ja off the ball. And he was guarding Jordan Poole. At the end, he was guarding Jordan Poole. I mean, I kind of like that matchup if I'm the Warriors. Don't love it the other way, but I like, it's one of those, like, if he's going to be doing that, you got to score on him. You got to go get him. I mean, Steph even said that, right? It's like we kind of gave Ja a break by not, like, they never want to say because he's so bad defensively, but that's what they're saying. Just go get him. Every go time. Pick him out and go get him.
But I think one of the issues is they're doing the come down, set the screen, get it back, hand off, and do it. And then by the time
Draymond wants you to circle around me,
there's like 7 seconds left, and now he could just go all out, right? He could just, I'm going to pressure real hard. He caught Wiggins one time. Wiggins is trying to pace it. He gets some, like, just go straight to him. Like, no, none of all. Here I come, Ja, right? And make him have to play defense for four quarters. Then, I mean, he's an incredible athlete. Like, he's young, so I don't know how tired he get, but there were some times he was looking tired in this game. And he got his rest, and then he came back in the fourth quarter, and he had some legs, but they just stopped going at him, And to me, you just can't do that. That's how Minnesota kept that series close. Anthony Edwards was like, hey, where's number 12? I'm coming for you, and the Warriors need somebody like that.
So one thing this member was like, oh, God, that Grizzlies bench, what were they, 7-2, when 17-2 when Ja was out. And they played great in the Minnesota series. They cannot play without him in this series. Like, he is mandatory for them in this series because the other guys aren't scoring. The other guys are not dynamic enough. Well, and Brandon Clark isn't going to score 14, against the Warriors. It's just not going
to
happen.
To me, it continues to fly a little under the radar. But, like, Desmond Bane, like, Taylor Jenkins is talking tonight, like, really hoping that these next 3 days off gets Desmond Bane right. Because if you haven't watched Memphis much this season, you're probably like, well, that's just, like, he's just a random two-guard that's not that good. He's floating around. Like, he is a really – and he is just not himself at all. And, like,
that 1-3 after it was the four offensive rebounds and then the Clay bad miss, and then he got the offensive rebound, takes the dribble out – and just turns around and hits a three. It's like by far his best play. I went, well, maybe he's feeling better. And then he didn't really do anything else.
But, I mean, if you're down there, like a couple times he fell to the ground and he's like, come on, come over here and help me up. And, like, we knew there was a lot of buzz pregame he might not play. And, he's got the heat pack on his back during the – like, I don't know. To me, that seems like something that might keep lingering. And, that's a huge factor in this series.
ISOing him, going at him.
I think they need a little bit of that. He's big, so it's like he's not a guy you can just shoot right over. Shot, like, there was a couple times, like, they sometimes you can act like he doesn't even exist. You just turn around and you shoot because he's not there. He's there, but he's not there. But, yeah, I mean, again, 1-1, they could have won this game. I think Memphis can say, listen, we won the game and we didn't have Dylan Brooks.
This series should be 1-1. These are two just, like super tight games. And then the
emotion, like, that's like a second straight game where the Warriors are like seething. I wrote all about seething, so I shouldn't use that word. But like game one, obviously they're upset with the officiating, except with the Draymond flagrant. And this one is all about Dylan Brooks. It's just like These were emotional games for them. I mean, it is a good thing there's 3 days off at some point, because, man, there's a lot to kind of sleep off, a lot to kind of like just get past it and start again in game three.
You know, to me, the NBA set a pretty easy precedent for this Dylan Brooks foul with the Grayson Allen foul on Caruso in the middle of the season, undercut him, Caruso falls, Caruso breaks his wrist, Grayson Allen gets one game. I'd expect one game suspension probably for Dylan Brooks, cemented by the fact that you now know, like, Gary Payton is seriously hurt.
Yeah, I feel like the Warriors should get to choose if they...
Oh, they want him or not?
Yeah, it's like, hey, you could, you know, it's like in the NFL where you could decline a penalty. Everybody want Dylan Brooks on the court. Like, De'Anthony Melton and Zaire Williams are pretty good. They're far more under control. They play in the flow.
Would they be better on the road? Like, you know, we'll see. Yeah, it's like, we'll see. I like them both as players, but Dylan Brooks is a tested player. I've said I've liked him. He's been terrible in this series.
He has been bad.
And wasn't so great in the previous one either. But, it's like he's going to get suspended, and we'll see if Zaire, can he hit those shots at Chase Center? Like, can he do that? In important moments when he's not at home and feeling great. Maybe he can. He's going to have them. They're going to give him those shots. There's no question. As the Warriors collapse on Ja, if he's out there with Ja, those shots are there. And I think the Warriors will see, okay, go ahead. Let's see if you can make them.
I mean, they made 30 threes in these two games. Like, that's not Memphis basketball, right? So,
But the Warriors are just, like, hand-delivering them. And, you know, Jaren Jackson obviously had the huge game one, fouled out.
Jaren Jackson finally came through for you, huh, your boy?
3 of 14 and a foul out for Jaren Jackson.
First one, and then after that, not so much.
He had a couple of nice rim-protecting moments.
Well, he was tough for the Warriors to score on. Yeah, I mean, it was like they every time they would get in there, there would be an arm flying out. And who the hell? Oh, okay, that was Jaren Jackson. Like, that's what the Grizzlies do. They just have that athleticism. We've talked about it all year. Like, they just have that help
had
defense.
A block, and I thought it was Jaren Jackson. Yeah, I thought he was fouled out.
Draymond's night. He gets hit in the with an elbow from Xavier Tillman, goes to the locker room, double birds the crowd, which is booing at him, and tells the world he's just fine with that fine postgame. Pretty funny postgame.
How much does he make?
$25 million a year. Okay. And said he'll make an appearance. And he wasn't even talking about the $25 million he's making. He said, I'll make an appearance and just earn it back. I was swollen very noticeably during the game. You could tell he was kind of having trouble seeing. A lot of turnovers. I think he finished with 4 or 5. Just, you know, in bad ones. Ball's just kind of slipping out of his hands. Generally, you know, plays good, gets the 6th foul on Jaren Jackson. What did you just think of his night, including his post game, which was more curt than usual?
Curt? Look at that. Yeah. No, he was definitely, like, I do feel like Draymond has to play better for them to get a better start. Like, those early turnovers where he's trying to thread the needle and pass ahead, like, they got to cut that out against Memphis just to get a good start, because each of these games they've been behind, so... And Chase, those got to be shots. Just because you want to get a good start, but generally speaking, I think he's playing okay. He wasn't as aggressive going in tonight, but I think that was because of his eye. There was one moment where Ja went in on him and looked like he's pointing at his eye, like he can't see, me. Maybe I was.
Or that might have been the moment where Ja literally couldn't see. Yeah, it was the end of the quarter. Ja was having issues seeing. Yeah. It was a weird game.
It was to Ja. He's in the corner. It's like, I can't see. I'm not going to shoot right now. It was at the end of the half or whatever the hell. It was hilarious.
End of the third quarter. Like, that was right in front of us.
Yeah, don't throw it to me. Do not throw it to me. But
I think it must have been a contact issue. But it was wild down there.
Yeah. They just need Draymond to take something away defensively. And... But I mean, to the Warriors' advantage, he hasn't really played this series, right? Not like to full capacity. Either he was getting ejected or he was playing with like a half an eye. So, I mean, how many minutes has he played uninhibited? Like, you know.
What was crazy is like that all of the shit that happened within like 4 minutes of the game start. It was when Peyton gets injured and then Draymond's in the locker room, it's like 8-1 and it's just like 8:50 on the clock. You're just like.
What? Did Peyton shoot the free throws, by the way? I missed that. I was like thinking about something else, like thinking about, you know, is he hurt or not? But
And he shot the free throw. The first one was really short, barely hit the front rim.
And he made the second one.
And he was really shaking the elbow.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I'm just saying, he might play with that thing.
It's up to Rick Celebrini.
Yeah, who knows?
You talk about Peyton?
Yeah.
So I was
sleeve and just dribble right-handed.
So I will say, and Tim was there. You know, they announced post game that, and there was some unknown during the game about inconclusive X-rays. They clearly want a lot more information on this MRI because MRI is much more 3D imaging, and that'll come tomorrow. But it was Ritter kind of was like, well, you know, yeah, like you know, I wouldn't say it's for sure going to be some long term. I'm like, wait till the MRI. Basically, they're announcing fractured wrist, which screams season over, basically, or fractured elbow.
Yeah.
But like you said, he is the type of guy that will gladly at this stage of his career go play through any pain he can. Now they're going to learn in the next few days, if this is even an injury that's possible to play on. My guess would be no.
Elbow's tough. There's
shooting elbow.
Yeah. It's that's tough.
I mean, they all wear them sleeves because Iverson had the elbow bursitis and he played with it.
Bursitis.
Put a sleeve on.
A little different than a fracture. Well, I mean, again, maybe it's one of those spider fractures, but those hurt too. So,
but pain. This is the type of player who pain is fine.
It's maybe how you hold on to the ball where you can swipe at the ball.
Well, for certain, right?
Yeah.
The 3-for-3 from three, and we saw in Denver.
Those
are probably out, right? Those are probably out. Right?
How are they going to defend him then if they're giving him the three now before this? Who knows? You know, maybe they want the mystery of him. Maybe at some point they could throw him out there. I don't know. It doesn't cost them anything to just keep him. You know, he's on the roster, so we'll see.
Like one of those, linebackers that they shatter their hand and they just put a club on and they're still out there making tackles.
Out there with a cast on,
swipe, bam, oops,
with a little arm stand right here. I'm guarding Ja.
I still got him. I'm not switching. It will be interesting. What a wild couple days here, man. It was wild. It feels like we've been here for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Memphis in general is kind of a wild place to be. This FedEx Forum is buried next to Beale Street, and the crowds are great. Some of the music they play in the between timeouts, and this is a good series. This is good playoff basketball.
Yeah, it feels like the Western Conference Finals. It's what it feels like to me. Maybe it's just because Houston's sort of like this, but it feels like this is not the second round. It's not game two of the second round. It feels much deeper than that. But here we are.
Before the game with Ja, T, and Dale Curry. So apparently there was a tweet somebody was saying oh, you guys are on T Morant, blah, blah. And Ja retweeted it. Apparently they're going after his father. I don't understand that. T. Morant seems the coolest dude in the building to be. He's part of the whole ambiance of the scene. You know what I'm saying?
We haven't felt it. We don't know. So.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you from game. We're probably going to do
a plus minus
in between. So, yeah, maybe Thursday, Friday. We'll do a plus minus. Talk to you then.